this is James from ThrillPunk.com.
And this is his faithful sidekick, Mike. How are you doing this week, man?
I'm stoked. I'm really excited about the website. The weather has been amazing. I got some great hiking in.
The weather has been amazing, yeah. I mean, it's just been great. And plus, this is a special episode for us.
This is a very special episode. This is the episode that we will have our very first guest star of all time.
Right. You know all those celebrity invites I threw out? Well, one of them finally is going to happen.
Yeah, I tracked down someone, and I made it happen. So, and hopefully this is just the first of many that I will make come true.
Right. I'm looking at you, Les Stroud.
Maybe I could try that. Well, anyway, so today we'll be chatting with Paul Wheaton from Permies.com.
The guy that I invited on last week. Isn't that amazing?
Right, that is amazing. And the guy who created the permaculture playing cards that we read from for the past 3-4 weeks or so.
I know. Well, it's been a long... Has it only been about 3 or 4 weeks?
Something, maybe a month.
I don't know, but...
No, it is a month. Yeah.
Every time we have the permaculture minute, we actually reviewed them way before we started.
Right, we did that, and then I realized we could just go through them and just read one every week.
Right, so I'm actually going to hand the reins of that over to our guest, Mr. Paul Wheaton. Once he gets on there, I'm going to let him actually read it. And this is pretty much going to be, instead of having a permaculture minute, we're going to have a permaculture show pretty much over
right.
here.
The entire show will be permaculture, and then most of our normal features will kind of go out the window, as if you've listened to a Paul Wheaton interview in the past, you will know that you really can't wrangle him in. You just let him go wild and see where the conversation goes.
And I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
It's going to be fun. Just in case you don't know, all the podcasts now are marked explicit, but with Paul Wheaton on, it's 2 times explicit.
We're not sure if we could actually mark it twice as explicit.
Yes.
We have to market XXX.
Actually, that's what used to be. Like, XXX was invented for, like, extreme graphic violence or, like, adult nature. And then it was taken over by the adult industry. But this episode might be XXX rated.
You mean kind of the way that that a special ed school used to be for, like, troubled kids instead of just retarded ones? Yeah. Believe it or not.
So, yeah, Paul Wheaton will be our special guest star. We'll go ahead and... We're going to do things a bit differently. We're going to knock out the advertisers up front.
Yeah, we want to give him as much time uninterrupted as possible.
Right.
On this episode. So let's go ahead and talk about our good friends over there at JM Bullion.
JM Bullion, who now are coming in at their second year of advertising, which is amazing in the podcasting world.
Woot, woot.
This is the best place online to get your gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, they've gone to free shipping on all orders.
Free shipping on all orders. That is amazing.
Yes, and I'm trying to hit them up for a discount for a future thing I'm working on. So, free shipping, and then possibly you might get a discount. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Just go to survivalpunk.com, find the banner on the right-hand side for JM Bullion, click it, and start making wise investment choices today.
Right. And then next, I've got survivalgearbags.com, my good friend Kelly over there, who I meant to email yesterday. I need to check in on
Kelly John Doe?
Kelly John Doe. Right, to see how he's doing, and then I got something I need to run by him. So yeah, Kelly over there, he runs a great gear bag shop. Where you can get all of your survival gear bags and the
plenty
items
of stuff to put in them. Yeah,
correct.
Absolutely, they have sales on there on a semi-regular basis. You go in there, just like with JM Bullion. Go to survivalpunk.com, find their banner on the right hand side, click it, and start preparing for the end of the world.
Right, and if there's something you're looking for and you don't see it in there. Drop Kelly an email, and he'll see what he can do to get it added into the gear shop.
Oh,
he's constantly upgrading his equipment and stuff. And because before, I was trying to work out a deal, and maybe I'll actually go in and get it done, where Survival Gear Bags has this option for us content creators and stuff, people in the survival industry, to create their own bug-out bag.
Really?
That you could pre-buy. So there would be a Survival Punk bug-out bag.
Would it have the logo on it?
No, it'd be whatever bag I choose. Although, since my patches are sold in his neighboring store, I could probably send him a shipment of patches so that there could be a patch on the bag.
That would be awesome.
And I'm trying to get new patches soon. Different different kind for a different thing.
So stay tuned. You might see the Survival Punk bug out bag.
Right. And I might actually take the plunge. There's a knife creator that I'm going to maybe talk to soon about a limited edition Survival Punk survival knife.
Oh, we were just talking about that yesterday.
Right. I've been kicking it around for a while, so I need to finalize the design and get with the creator and see if there's interest in a Survival Punk knife. So that's our sponsors, yeah. SorrelGearbags.com, JMBullion.com, and with that, we've only taken up 5 minutes of your time with our advertising commercial content, and then at this time, I would like to welcome Paul Wheaton, the great, the glorious, the Duke of Permaculture, onto the Survival Punk podcast. Yeah, it'll be easy to just come back in and edit it out, so I don't have to go click the button after we start talking.
Yeah, that's true.
Or I could... hey, Paul. Awesome. Hey, Paul. Awesome. Yeah.
Hi, crystal clear.
Right. Good neighbors.
Yeah. Sometimes neighbors can be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We did do some show prep, and we've got a few questions with sort of our main show topic being what the fuck is permaculture? Which I mean, in for the post, I'll abbreviate to what the F or some wingdings or whatever, but. My audience is pretty okay with cussing, so.
Yeah, they have to be.
Yeah, I was like, well, I sort of for the intro, I was like, maybe for this episode, since Paul Wheaton will be on, we'll double X-rate it. Like, it'll be extremely explicit. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Poor Mormons. So, I'm James. This is my co-host, Mike. And I guess if you're ready, we'll jump right in. I'll introduce you and we'll get into it.
Let's do it. All right. We recording yet?
Yeah, I'll just let it go and I'll edit it out.
All right. We'll edit that, yeah.
All right. This is James, and it's my pleasure to introduce the glorious Duke of Permaculture, Paul Wheaton, to the show. Paul, how are you?
It's actually an honor for me to meet you here because we have this weekly segment called the Permaculture Minute, where I actually read one of the cards from your permaculture playing card set every week on the show. So I'm actually, when it comes around to that time of the show, I'm actually going to hand you the reins on that and actually do the honor of letting the author actually have a crack at it. And God only knows you have to be at least as good as I am. All right, so...
Yeah, I assumed you either...
When we made those cards, I mean, we spent a good 3 hours and half an hour each each card. And it seems that the stuff that was so incredibly simple for each card. We really went round and round on each card on how to exactly word it.
Right, and from what I read about it a little bit, and you guys had time to like hide stuff on the cards too. Yeah.
So you didn't even tell me that.
Have a name hidden on them. And one of the cards has a needle. You know, the needle
case. Right.
It has a needle hidden in the card.
So I like that. Kind of off topic, one of my favorite comic book artists when I was younger, his pieces took so much work, he would always hide stuff in there just to keep him from being bored. So yeah, the same thing. So what's our first question for Paul?
Well, let's see. Starting off, where does your interest in permaculture stem from?
I was super excited when you got your land. Like I started following the forums, the Paul's Farm forum, a lot, because I was kind of obsessed with the Wafati. Like I liked the idea, but I wanted to see one so bad. So yeah. Right.
We got to that point before the ground froze solid up here.
Oof.
Last year. And so my brother lived in it with his family through the winter. And now we're going to finish it this year. And in theory, what it should do is if we've done it right, that it will stay warm all winter without any heat.
Right.
Wow.
Here in Montana.
That's an accomplishment. Heck, that's an accomplishment down here where we are to stay warm all winter without heat.
Where are you guys?
Tennessee. Middle Tennessee, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, here in Montana, first last winter, it got to 26 below.
Oh.
Ooh.
And one of the experiments we had going on is we have a couple living in a teepee with a rapid mass heater. So, the thing is that if you go to a teepee with a conventional wood stove and the fire goes out, you're going to freeze your knobs up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they were on a rocket mass heater, so their bed was actually on the mass. So then the fire goes out, 9 o'clock at night, fire's gone, and then the mass has been heated. And then the mass just holds the heat through the next day. And so in the morning, they wake up, and they are snug as a bug, and it's 26 below outside.
Right.
It's like, oh, but, we're going to get up, and we're going to start the day, we're going to not build a fire. They get up, and it's like, oh, it's cool. Like,
right.
I want you to describe for me, like, when you got out of bed, the bed was warm, but when you got out of bed, you're surrounded by the mass, but you're standing in a teepee, which has no insulation.
Right.
When you're standing there, and there's all this mass that's got heat, and you're collecting the radiant heat from the mass. So the question is, what did it feel like? What temperature did it feel like? And so they said that
pretty sweet.
They're like in their jammies, you know?
Right.
So they get up, they're in their jammies, and then they're getting dressed. And it's like, oh, it's a little cool, but, you know, you're getting dressed. You're not like, oh, I'm suffering as I'm getting dressed. It's like,
right.
It's cool.
Yeah, I followed your example, and this past winter was the third winter that I did not use any central air in my apartment. And then I didn't go as extreme this past winter, but the year before I got my bill down to $10 for a month, which is ridiculous.
What does your bill normally run?
It's about $40 through the winter. I don't have a huge issue with heating. Like, you know, it doesn't get below about 50, which is fairly comfortable with, you know, a sweater or a long sleeve shirt on. But I can't stand the heat, though. Like, the heat gets me. I got to have air conditioning, especially here in Tennessee. It just gets, when it gets to be like, you know, 100 degrees, it's just nasty.
Yeah. The weather out here is actually a little bit psychotic. There's a joke that goes, if you don't like the weather in Middle Tennessee, just wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
Right.
I've seen it go through three seasons in one day before. I've literally seen it go from like 20 degrees to 85 within the course of a day. It's disastrous.
Well, we could spend an hour talking about your home, agriculture techniques. But, you know, and it's, I mean, the best thing you could possibly do. We've got an experiment going right now out of Kirby. You guys might be aware of it. Last summer, we were asking people this summer, who've got an enormous tree, a giant tree, like over 100 feet tall tree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I believe that if it's 100 degrees outside, that under the tree, like a regular olive tree, it'll be 10 degrees cooler. But under a giant tree, I think it might be 20 degrees cooler or even more.
Hmm.
So it's like, but I want to, let's measure it. Find out. Let's get those thermometers going. So we've got some people at Kirby's that have already started measuring, you know, under the tree and out in the sun. And the numbers are starting to come in.
Are you recording?
This is the kind of thing that we do.
Right.
My property is called Wheaton Laboratories. I mean, we've got all sorts of experiments to do to help people who are living out in the country do it better. And the idea is, like, sometimes people go and they'll do something to save energy, and they'll suffer for it. It's like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the heat in the house off, and I'm going to wear, like, 8 layers of sweaters, and then they're miserable.
Right.
Yeah, and they said, no. How can you be living like this even more luxurious while using less energy? And part of this is that some point in time, you know, are you going to be involved homesteading? Because I believe that when you look at any of the world's problems, which are numerous and scary and give you a stomachache,
right.
And so you move out of the country, you got yourself a homestead, and then when the crazy happens over there, the rounds are faster, this and that, kind of doesn't matter. You got it all going on right here already. You know, and you're living extremely comfortably, and then your energy needs are really low, and, you know, so therefore you don't need a lot of money. In fact, it's kind of like, I get bad mouth a lot, my detractors
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, because I give away more free information than all the permaculture people combined.
Right.
But I'm the money grubber. And it's like, but the thing I do is, as the Duke of Permaculture, I'm going to say it's okay to make money with permaculture. Some people believe that it's like this, you know, we go down the permaculture road, you have to take on the vow of poverty. And I don't think that's the case. I think if you can get stinky rich off of permaculture, go for it. Please do. If you can make a professional wage, if you can get paid more doing permaculture than software engineering, I hope you do that.
See, and it kind of gets me, like, if you're making yourself live this poor poverty existence, that doesn't seem like people care to me, which is like the first ethic of permaculture. If you're not taking care of yourself, you know, and living well, then you're already failing at it, right?
I think, you know, if you want to me, and this is a better place where I kind of people don't like what I have to say. I believe that once you start to talk about the ethics, then it's been my experience that the people who talk about the ethics are usually up to something less than ethical.
Exactly.
They use the ethics to justify the less than ethical behavior.
Especially the third one.
I kind of feel like rather than talking about the ethics, you know, and then people say, you just are following the techniques. It's like you're accidentally implementing the ethics.
Right.
Without having to have. And people have been debating ethics for thousands of years. And it's like. And recently, there was a blog that came out recently, and it said that they were reading all about the ethics and the principles, and they're really. But they hadn't done anything. And then they started listening to my podcast, and now they started to do stuff.
Right.
And it's like they're so sold on permaculture. Permaculture is the answer, but they haven't actually done anything. And then they kind of are having a hard time figuring out where to begin. And it was, and I think that's where my podcasts are. Let's get stuff done. Let's do stuff.
Right.
And let's live a more luxuriant life. And then the point I was trying to go to 7 minutes ago was, go out, make all that money, build your grub steak, buy that piece of land, and now, if you make $300 a month, that's gobs.
Yeah.
Spend it on.
Right. That's where I'm moving forward with my tiny empire here.
I think this is another great place to talk about gift economy. So a lot of people talk about, and usually when I hear people mention the gift economy, I get really confused. And I think what they're trying to say is, hey, buddy, how about if you give me some gifts?
Oh.
You know, that's not a term that I'm actually familiar with. What do you mean by the gift economy?
So here's what I've experienced is that
do. I got in on the Kickstarter because, I mean, mostly you were talking about using the Kickstarter to raise money for the laboratory, and I figured my $20, you know, would be well spent, and for value, I mean, I do like them, and we do make it
a
feature.
Yeah, I won't say it's a permanent part of the show, as there's only 52 of them.
So you have to release new cards.
And so I think here will probably be bringing the price down just in time for Christmas. And I'm not sure to what, but, we'll clear out the last of our inventory then, probably.
All right.
And then they'll be all gone.
All gone.
At least another deck will have another year's worth of shows right there. And I'm looking for. I love these things. I mean, it's the perfect. It's a, for the purposes of our show. It's like the perfect amount of information to spread on one subject to keep the show moving along. I mean, it's just great. There's a lot of cool stuff, and I didn't even know about the hidden stuff on there. You never told me about that. So now I'm going to have even more time to look at these look at these things. I love stuff like that. Really do.
If you look at
I'll find it.
If you have the cast iron card, and then if you look at the handbook, and you might need to, I know that for myself, in order to read the hidden handbook, you might have to use the glasses out. There it is, I can see it now.
Okay.
You see it? You got it?
Oh, the two of hearts. Yeah, found it. Let's see. Oh, there are there's something on the handle there. Your eyes are better than mine. What? At least I think so. Can you read that?
Lawton E. McDaniel.
That's my grandpa.
Oh, nice.
So some of the names are people who supported the Kickstarter at a really high level, and then some of the names are people. Like, for example, Jack Spirko gave a big shout-out while we were doing the Kickstarter. And so I think Jack Spirko, his name is hidden on the Google Culture card. And so each person, each name that's on there has got a little bit of a story on it.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
I'll have to go back. I might actually go back and throw those on there. That'd be cool.
All right, so let's jump right into the big show topic. When I thought about getting you on, the first thing that popped in my head was, what the fuck is permaculture? Just sort of an everyman sort of common, like, what is permaculture? Why do I care?
Which kind of fits right in with the basis of our show. So you're the one that's knowledgeable about everything, and you explain everything to me.
Yeah, I always...
I refer to myself as the couch potato survivalist.
Yeah, I always like to apply the 80-20 rule to, like, everything in life. So, you know, what's the 20% of permaculture that would give you 80% of, you know, saving the world? You know, sort of just like what is permaculture? Like, just
okay. First, let's start off with what is permaculture. I think for each permaculture person you ask, you're going to get a different answer. And I think that they're all right. And I want to emphasize that I think that all the people who love permaculture, they're each an artisan in their own way. And like it in the real the world of paint and sculpture and stuff like that, I think you're going to find a lot of those artisans are going to point to the other artisans and say, that's not art.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some of that. There's going to be a lot of that. But I'm going to stand up and say there's a lot of different views of permaculture under the great permaculture umbrella. Now, here's mine. Permaculture is a more symbiotic relationship with nature so that I can be even lazier.
I like that, yeah.
I like that, too.
A lot of people have these things where it's like, it's got a bunch of college words in it, and I frankly have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. and it starts getting into this, you know, the synergy and sustainability. And a lot of it is, it's like, you know, the thing that I worry about is like the three ethics. I worry that Monsanto, like every person, every executive at Monsanto could get up in the morning, recite the three ethics, and truly believe in their heart of hearts that the work that they're doing meets the three ethics of permaculture.
Right.
That they could believe that their products are you know, people care, you know, earth care, and return of surplus to the first two.
Right.
Truly believe it to the core, and they could stop everything they're doing and put their hand over their heart and recite the three ethics when they get up and at lunchtime and before they go to bed at night and truly believe it to the core. And so that's part of the reason why I kind of feel like the ethics aren't really helping.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the ethics are doing something for you. And so Jack Spirko and I have this argument on podcast all the time. And basically, to Jack, it's clear as day. And I kind of feel like, yeah, it's probably clear as day to anybody if Jack's standing right next to you, because he won't let you forget what it means.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, though, they find loopholes.
Yeah.
To find their less than ethical behavior. And then they feel big, warm, fuzzy. What I'm doing is permaculture by fucking people. And by fucking people, right? People care.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't like to get fucked from?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, anyway, the whole thing with piracy is, like, I've seen a bunch of people justify it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the third ethic. And it's like, no, it isn't. No, it isn't.
No.
I, as the Duke of Permaculture, I'm here to tell you, no.
Yeah. So I bought this permaculture DVD. It marketed itself, and I should have known better. It was marketing as a PDC, and it was I was on the email list, so it was like pay shipping and handling of like $12.95 when you send. We'll send you this permaculture DVD. And
was this
like,
the one you were telling me about that?
Yes.
I said that we needed to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know, for $12.95, I'll pretty much buy anything. And the quality was horrible. Like I could have shot this better on my cell phone. It skipped every 5 seconds. The lady did the third ethic as redistribution. It was all whiteboard. I'm gonna review them later and just bash them that they're talking about in the PDC about how you shouldn't want after profit and whatnot while they're hustling this DVD on the people. It's not good quality. It's bad quality. And bad information. And they're telling you not to go for profit while they,
make
take
profit.
Your money.
That's been a common problem I've seen. There are exceptions, but maybe this is your 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
That's not exactly. But I'm going to say 90% of the people who say you shouldn't be looking out for profit, 90% who are adamant about that won't do a damn thing for another person unless there's profit in it for them. And it's been just, and I call this the hate in the name of love crowd.
Hate in the name of
love. I hate you. Or if you do not obey my instructions to you about loving everybody, then I'm now going to bring a world of hate to your door. So I don't know who made the DVD that you're looking at. $12.95 does sound mighty cheap.
I could call them out. Their name was Regenerative Leadership. Oh, it sounds like you know them. What?
It was a woman?
It was a woman, yeah.
Oh.
You know?
Okay. Well, there's two of them that are regenerative something or another. And one of them is what I've heard to be a very lovely woman. And I've never met her. And then the other one is this guy, and the guy is being kind of around the permaculture community is being against this guy, and I've also heard that he's got active lawsuits against people.
Wow.
Because they would say that guy is icky, and then he is suing them for like defamation or something. And it's like, seriously?
Hmm.
So, $800.
No.
Thank you.
Playground rules.
So I think I made up a number. I said, tell you what, I will totally sell you permies.com. 8.9 million. There you go. That's too expensive. I know.
Yeah.
So, he did not buy permies.com.
I mean, really, that's, you have like, what, four million? So that would be like $2 a person that goes to firm permies?
I have 1 million people per month that just come to permies.com.
Hmm. Okay. That's massive. Yeah.
That's what we need.
It's pretty big. It's pretty good. So, actually at this time, it's dominantly the firms, and I don't do very much with the firms anymore. The farms are now run by Burra, and I just use the bits that I need day to day, and there is just mountains of people talking about every aspect. I think we now have over 100 farms now.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, the list, if you go there, the first page of the list just goes on and on and on and on, and I've got three that I go to every day, and every once in a while, I was like, oh, I need to talk about this. And so I'll go to that firm, and I was like, wow, that's an active firm. There's a lot going on here today.
Yeah.
So, it's huge.
Yeah, I was hooked on your sister-in-law, Christy's, posts, her pictures from the laboratory. Like, that was the best thread ever, just seeing what's going on.
And if you click at the top of your laptop, you click at Watch Topic, and it'll send you an email every time
It's addictive. So some of the things you said in there, I'm gonna jump ahead in my questions because I'm gonna pick out something you said there, and that's, why are there so many dicks in permaculture?
Amazing permaculture. person says, that's stupid, then the response is, suck it up, then. Go look at it. Yeah. People that have some intellect. So, you might say that that response is a bit dickish. And I kind of feel like, so what, like, I guess where I'm going with this is to say that these people that appear to be such dicks, that we made them that way. That when we came and looked at it, rather than trying to understand what it is, that it seems like we've got this mentality of saying that's stupid, or, you know, and that stupid can come in, you know, a thousand different flavors of nasty.
Mm-hmm.
You're a dumb fuck. So, and it's like, rather than I don't understand, which I think is really what's being said, when somebody says you're a dumb fuck or that's stupid or whatever, what they're really saying is I'm struggling to understand this, and I'm not understanding it easily, and so then, you know, their language is harsher. So it seems to require this this loveliness and charm from the person that has done the inventing, which seems a bit inappropriate. It kind of seems like, you know, our greats get to have license to innovate without the requirement of sharing. You know, kind of seems that way. And I think there's different schools of thought, but that's one explanation out of a long list of explanations of why it is that. Granted, some of the people that are our greats are very lovely people. I think that, you know, Toby Hemingway is just a really sweet guy, a soft-spoken guy. Jeff Ratton is a really nice guy, although, wow, that guy has some serious detractors.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
But it happens. I mean, Gandhi had a million detractors.
Oh, definitely.
I saw a video not long ago about what a nasty person Mother Teresa was.
Oh, wow.
I mean, pick whoever you think is untouchable and awesome. And then you'll find that, no, there's people out there that seriously hate the person. John Wilkes Booth kind of thought Abe Lincoln was an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying that you either, well, what I'm thinking and what I'm getting is from being like, being told you're a dumb fuck so many times, you kind of have two choices. You either just say, forget it, I'm not going to share anymore and go away, or you become a dick to fight back against the idiots that don't understand what you're doing.
Well, like, look at Seth Moser. I mean, he's probably the most difficult person to communicate with. What he does now is that very few people are allowed to talk. He will, like, the communication pipeline is one way, and it's challenging enough if you need to have a translator between the two of you, because he doesn't speak a lick of English. But I understand, even if you speak German, that he holds his hand up and waves it to you. which to me, when I see him do this, he waves his hand in front of your face as you're trying to speak, and he shuts you up, he's basically saying, no, see, you're a dumbass.
Oh my God.
Fucking kid knows I don't
Yeah.
So, but it's like, you know, so your children train you to yell at them, because if you say a quiet voice, they ignore it. And so now it's like, you know, the only thing that they'll respond to is if the message comes packaged in anger.
Yeah, they preach it to the choir there.
Yeah, well, you can...
It seems like apparently it's gone around so much. I keep hearing back all these different brands and stuff, like, use it for all sorts of things now. But, so the idea is it steps at the top of the scale. It's a logarithmic scale. There's, 6 billion people at level zero. There's 1 billion at level one, 100 million at level two, 10 million at level three, et cetera, et cetera. So I take it to one at level 10 in that set. And then the properties are that no matter where you are on the scale, that there's the two observations. So, I'm going to pick on you, the generic you. It could be either of you or any of you, any of your listeners, the you. Anybody behind you is fucking everything up and needs to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, with a sentence, observation one. Observation two is that if anybody's one level ahead of you, they're cool. Two levels ahead of you, they're super cool. Three levels ahead of you, they're crazy. And four levels ahead of you, they're so crazy they need to be institutionalized for their own safety and the safety of those around them.
Hmm.
Now, Steph Hunter's at level 10, so to almost anybody, he's crazy. Hmm. He is seriously nuts. So they feel...
Oh, wow.
Sure, because he's farming on a mountainside. How crazy is that? So he believes that it's the best way to do it. And that's just nuts. Everybody knows that farming is on the flat country. So there's that crazy, this whole thing of, like, people that are getting some really great work done appear to the masses to be crazy. And of course, with the Wheaton Ecoscale, the thing to do is observations and say these are both inappropriate things. What we're observing here is inappropriate behavior. So when we look at people behind us, let's not tell them about things that are three levels ahead, because they will probably see that as just crazy.
Right.
Tell them about things that are one or two levels ahead of where they are, and they'll be able to digest that and actually move forward. As opposed to just hitting them with sticks and telling them they're fucking everything up. and then for the people ahead of us, then it's like, okay, couple of notes. We met somebody, they seemed really crazy. Maybe they are crazy, but maybe they're actually advanced.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just keep that in mind, that it's a possibility.
See, and I can actually relate to the story you were telling about inventing something and having everybody say that that's stupid. A few years back, I actually came up with an invention that I thought was brilliant. Everybody I told it to said it was stupid, it makes no sense, nobody will buy one of those. My invention was a blanket with sleeves, so you could bundle it around you.
Yeah.
Everybody said it was stupid. I'm like, all right, nobody likes this. 2 years later, I see the Slanket and the Snuggie come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's making it into Mike's advice today. That's right. Where it is.
I've had people recently give me the you're crazy. Like, so I guess in the past 6 months, I've lost about 70 pounds. So everyone's like, hey, James, how did you lose that weight? And at first, I would go on to the long explanation, like to tell them how I did it and all the things I did. And then get this glazed over look in their eyes. And you can just see they're going, oh, I'm just going to keep eating donuts. I'm not going to do all that. And you're crazy, James, because you can't eat like lots of fat, because you'll kill yourself. Whatever.
Everybody knows fat makes you fat.
Right. So now when people ask me how I lost weight, I'm just kind of like, I just did stuff. Yeah, I just did stuff.
Yeah,
that is true.
I focused on nutrition. I eat only nutritious food. I nutrition. And and by eating nutritious food, then suddenly it just went away. So I eat organic and nutrient-dense food, you know, such as foods that are high in fat.
True. And then they'll follow up with, well, if you're not eating any grains, then you're going to be unhealthy because you don't have a balanced diet, and then I just want to choke them.
Have you ever seen the food pyramid?
Oh, yeah.
Which is brought to you by Nabisco.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I decided to stop giving money to Nabisco, and then look, I lost 70 pounds.
Yeah. That's a late night commercial from now on. Don't give money to Nabisco, and you'll lose weight like James.
I think there's a lot of people that are doing amazing things for themselves, eating a vegan wrap. Alan is laughing at that. That is amazing. I'm just sick to death of hearing from vegans that feel that all other people on the planet need to eat vegan. And then when you look into their diet, what does vegan mean? It's bizarre. Most of the time, what vegan means is that they're eating Oreos and Diet Coke.
That's where you get that from.
Yeah, so I stole that saying and
yeah, he said that on the show several times, and I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. I realize that it's piracy. Now I realize it's piracy.
Which is true. There's a lady at work who says she's a hardcore vegetarian, and she's trying to lose weight or whatever. And every day at lunch when I walk by her, she has, like, her bowl full of Triscuits and her vegetable soup that has, you know, her commercial brand vegetable soup with, like, you know, two things of vegetables in them, you know, and her yogurt or whatever and diet drink or something. I'm like, I eat more vegetables than you do. That's not, you're eating Triscuits and you're eating commercial, you know, vegetable soup. That's not, that doesn't count.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Triscuits, that's Nabisco right there.
Exactly.
Yep.
No Nabisco, she'll lose weight. So next up, I've got,
Just real quick.
Okay. Right.
Cooking every day, they cook meals for themselves.
Exactly.
And they don't buy processed food. They don't come anywhere near aspartame or carbonated beverages. And they will not buy anything from the Nabisco. And they're not eating grain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really amazing vegan diet, and they are extremely healthy. And then there are some people that will eat the exact same thing, and they'll become horribly sick. And the same thing can be said. I believe the best diet is a high-fat diet. And there's some people that will become very healthy on a high-fat diet, and some people will become very sick on a high-fat diet. And so it's really, I think, be aware of what are making people healthy. But I kind of think anything involving aspartame and Nabisco is not going to make you healthy.
Right. I mean, for this lady, I thought about playing around and sort of developing and going on myself a high-fat vegan diet, you know, with lots of coconut oil and avocados and, you know, kale and some other good veggies and eating lots of that. But she just said she won't eat avocados and she hates coconut oil. And I was like, well, I'm not even going to do this experiment because you're not going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I think... I've had so many people contact me, and it's because we've had people on my podcast who had cancer, and we got their cancer to go away.
Wow.
Dominantly through diet. And
right.
So let's go through your home and find out what are the carcinogenic vectors, because there's no such thing as a fucking cancer fairy.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's this literal mythical being floating through the air and going, "Ting, you get cancer."
Right.
That's where people seem to believe that cancer comes from.
Right.
Cancer fairy. And so it's like, no, it comes from carcinogen. You know, it comes from a toxic environment. That's where cancer comes from. So, you know, we just go, we look at the home, we eliminate toxic vectors, improve the food stream, and then there are some herbs that you can buy over the counter that have been found to reduce cancer, and there's some foods that you can eat that have been found to reduce grown your it'll grow in pastures. You can eat it. It's totally edible. Ooh. It's just a food.
Yeah.
You know, eat a little bit of that in capsule form. No big deal. Yeah, have some coconut oil. Stop eating meat that isn't organic. I mean, it's just packed with. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going off on a tangent.
You're fine. We got off on. Oh, it began with why are there so many dicks in permaculture, and then we got off on nutrition because that's sort of one of my passions. So back on track, I've got another question, and this is kind of for my own curiosity. How are things going on the laboratory?
Workshop 2 days ago, and I went 50,000 hours of my herbs to do this workshop.
Wow.
It's going to take me a very long. We need to do some more Kickstarter.
Yes.
Oh. And it should be here hopefully this upcoming week.
I was going to ask about the tractor, because the last podcast I listened to with you, you said it was on the way, or it should be coming soon.
Yeah, it's been perfection. So it's like this whole thing of, like, Steve is talking about, okay, they came by, they called him up, and they said that they'd be here on Thursday, and then it would take 2 days to get into Montana. And so he postponed coming here until Friday. Because they would be there Thursday to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And by Thursday, what they meant to say was Friday. And by Friday, they meant Saturday. And by Saturday, they meant not Father's Day, but the day after Father's Day. And so finally, I got to be the following Thursday, and Steve told them to fuck off. Really, they've got no concept of what picking up the electric tractor even means. So he's like, I'm done talking to you. So now my brother is taking a trailer down there to go get it.
Okay.
That sounds a little bit like you there, James. So, Paul, you're probably not privy to this, but we were actually set up, prepped, and everything to do your interview yesterday because my co-host over here doesn't know how to work a calendar correctly.
I did. I set an alarm clock for today, but I had day dyslexia, and I read Sunday, and my brain was like, oh, we're doing that Saturday.
Yeah, we're sitting here a few minutes before 3 o'clock, all ready and everything, and all of a sudden he just grabs his face with both hands and is like, fuck! And I'm like, what's wrong? What did you forget? He's like, this is supposed to be tomorrow. I'm like, you dumb bastard.
Yeah. We started yesterday, so yesterday, all the instructors and a bunch of the people that were here for the workshop, experience the awesomeness that is Missoula. And then they came back early in the afternoon, and then we recorded like 4.5 hours of podcast to summarize all the things we did for the solar workshop.
Wow.
And so yesterday was a very busy day for us here. And today, in fact, we've got this thing, we just kind of expanded the laboratory by 100 acres.
Oh.
So last year, I bought 200 acres, and then this year we had an incident where somebody came through the land, they were going to go buy the land next door, and they were really awful, and I was like, oh shit, what if they actually bought it? So I put a shout out on my daily-ish email, I was like, hey, anybody want to buy 100 acres next door? So fortunately, one of our people did.
Oh, nice.
I closed a couple of weeks ago. And
sweet.
I think it was yesterday that I announced that we're going to sell some plots of land on that to people through what we call deep roots.
Right.
And so I think you get for $8,000 pseudo ownership of 2 acres on that new chunk of land. And so that's all at Permies. But then today, this morning, I was like, we got to go because I got to be back to record a podcast. And so we just went way out there. It took hours to drive it and look at it, because there's 200 acres. The last 200 acres that's available on the mountain, which is next to us, and it's Permies. They're part of our crew, our fan base.
Right.
And so we went out there with them today because I hadn't looked at all this 200 acres, and it's mountains, But there's a lot of flat spots and stuff like that. We were out there today with them, and they're talking about buying it. That would be the last piece that's beyond us. And so then the only people who will be driving through my land would be people that we know.
Nice.
There are a couple of little parcels that are downhill of us that we drive through to get to the laboratory. So who knows? Maybe a couple of our Permies will be our neighbors. But we've got about 20-25 people out here right now.
Nice. I know when I heard the announcement that you would close on your land, my mind started going, how can I quit my job, sell my car, and move there right now? Which obviously I didn't figure it out, unfortunately.
Well, we've got a bunch of people that have done exactly that. And I think the first step is you gotta be, you don't come out here if you got any debt.
Right.
I mean, and there are people do deep roots. Like, they found a little money in the bank, and they'll do deep roots. Now they've got an acre or two that is kind of sort of theirs. So we've got people doing that. And then we've got what we call shallow roots, where it's like, okay, you know, I have $2,000, and this acre is yours for 3 years. And so do what you want to do. But there's also, like, the guy up there, he wants to build a little fatty, and he needs people to harvest the rods and peel them. And he's paying so much per stick round to his site.
Nice.
So, you know, he's talking about people doing that. And that they would live there. So there's job opportunities here, and depending on how hard you work, it could be lucrative. But then there's also people that are, like, doing, like, what Joel Salatin calls fiefdoms, where you can overlay, you know, 50 different kinds of jobs on the same land, and they all help each other. And, like, my brother has some fiefdoms in that way. He makes good money buying and selling cattle. So there's stuff out here, and there's people that are exploring these spaces, but I think a lot of people, they want to do the gapper thing, and then they have all of these ideas of just projects that they want to try. And so we provide 3 meals a day, and right now we've got a great cook, and the food's been awesome, and it's all organic or better. And I think that there's lots of opportunity for more people here. In fact, Chuck, I would say right now, the one thing we're short on is women. We have a lot of guys out here.
Oh, my Lord.
There are women here, clearly, you know, Christie's pictures. So,
right.
And then Jocelyn's out here. And Emily is in our house, stuff about Tony and Emily in the TV. Which, by the way, Tony and Emily are going to move on.
Oh.
This is the longest they've ever been in one spot.
Wow.
How long they've been there?
They'd never been before. It was 3 months. And I think they've been here now for like by the time that they leave, they'll have been here for probably almost a year.
Wow.
So 4 times longer than they've ever been anywhere else, and they just are suffering from ladder lust. And their feet are getting itchy, and they bought bicycles, and they've got all these plans of their next adventure. And so that means we need somebody, preferably a couple, to do the next winter in the teepee. And we've made a bunch of improvements to the Rocket Mass Heater in that teepee, including we've also finished the berm that goes around the teepee, which will reduce wind hitting the teepee. Plus, the berm's been fully planted with food, and it's just pumping out food now.
Nice. Oh, that sounds awesome.
But just like what you're saying, though, there are people that are doing it. And I don't think if you've got debt, I don't see a way to get out of debt while you're here, unless maybe you've got some sort of online business you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my podcasts is all about residual income streams. Man, I want people to get out of the rat race and get down. But I think there's books like Early Retirement Extreme, Mortgage Free. And then a couple of those, where they talk about invest, I think instead of investing, build residual income streams. Because, you know, 2 hours of effort on your part could generate $5 a month for eternity.
Oh, yeah.
And then I bet maybe that's part of what you guys are doing with your podcast.
It is. I've got... I don't want to spill the beans, but I'm kind of trying to model Jack's MSB program. And, you know, I did listen to your residual income stream episode, and I'm going to listen to it again because I want to set up multiple streams. I want to say 3 months ago I paid off all the debt that I had. So now I'm debt-free, and now I'm working on the residual income streams and then and my grub stake so I could buy my piece of land and make my own tiny laboratory.
Well, here's another thing, is that some people are coming out here, and they have their grub stake, but when they went out and they looked for land, they kept finding stuff that was not quite a fit, and it's like, so what they're doing is they're coming out here and they're building their skill set. And so my brother Tim has amazing skills in construction, welding, and stuff like that. And then, of course, with everybody else, all the other projects going on here, there's, you know, skills to be built in all kinds of ways. feet down, saying, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to come out there, I want to be a gapper, and I want to work under Tim. And that's the hardest part, because Tim's a taskmaster. You know, he wants, it's like if you're going to be on a ship 200 years ago, and he's going to be the captain of the ship, and if you leave a tool lying out on the deck, that's 20 lashes. Of course, Tim doesn't actually get with anybody.
I think I just saw one on Facebook before I talked to you.
Yes.
The ultimate skiddable bee hut.
That's it.
Yeah, we're looking at it right this second.
It is magnificent.
So it's, you know, round wood, chainsaws, simple attachment, and I think it could hold two, maybe three beehives. And it's totally a skidable structure.
Right.
Right.
So it's like, I want to get these 20 different artisans that each think that everyone else is stupid. And the thing is that they each express their own views in seed and soil on a chunk of land. And then when artisan number 12 goes around and looks at the other 20, then it's like, okay, number 7, of course, is stupid. But look at the whole thing that they're like chickens there. That is something I have not tried. And of course,
awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Sounds, yeah, I kind of have a similar plan to get land and maybe talk some people into coming out here. But I follow the threads out there on your farm on the lab pretty good. I like that. So looks like I have two more questions, and then I'll let you get back to saving the world. All right. Will there be a new YouTube video? That's something I've wondered. I keep checking the Paul Wheaton YouTube page, which used to be like, you know, weekly entertainment for me, and I want to see what's going on at the lab.
I think he's trying to say he's jonesing for it.
I am, yeah. Right. Right.
So, we spent a huge amount of time this year peeling rats to get ready for the Wolfpack workshop. Have you guys seen that thing called Alone in the Wilderness, where Dick Prenicky builds a log cabin?
I've seen some of it.
Just the sky.
Yeah.
But hey, gotta build a little patty and
prove this shit
works.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
We've got our permaculture minute playing card, so if you want to pick out a favorite or random card and read that, or if you have a favorite one, we'll read it.
No, we have not done the Six of Diamonds yet. Let me find that real quick here. Six of Diamonds, honeybees. All right.
Well, I kind of, this card, we kind of played a little backwards. This card's got more information than the other one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to
read
yes, it does. This is the fullest one I've seen in here so far. Yes, it's the word at the top, bacon.
Which is the most important thing in the world.
Seven of hearts there. Absolutely. That's pretty cool. That is. Yeah.
Instead of feeding sugar water. So,
Right. It's a Darwinian law right there. Yeah. Survival of the fittest. Right, it's kind of like simulating their natural habitat of, like you said, building their hives in trees, and they have all the cover above them. Right.
Hmm.
And then, of course, then there's different crops at different times of
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that's just horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so modest, but yeah, he did a lot better job than I usually do on that. I'm gonna have to step up my game.
Yeah.
Really am. But speaking of my game, Paul, I don't know if you've ever heard our show or not, but each week I have this game that I call Mike's Worst Cases, in which I ask my friend here, Survival Punk James, to answer five trivia questions that we got from this old board game called the Worst Case Scenario. These are all questions about worst case scenarios. They're outdated by about 11 years. So you kind of got to think retroactively here. And basically, in order to win the game, you have to win you have to get 3 out of 5 right. And so basically, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to see if you'd like to play this game with us. And if you do win the game, get 3 out of 5, you will be. We were going to give you a sponsor spot on our show for the next how many episodes? It's your show.
To we'll definitely call out your next Kickstarter and help promote that.
Yeah, and we're gonna give you at least a month worth of free advertising on our show. Everybody else has to pay for it. All right, and if you, all right, and just to let you know, if you fail to get 3 out of 5 correctly, my co-host here will be punished severely. All right, now let's get right on to it with our first question. How to get food from a pine tree, and these are multiple choice. Do you A, roast closed pine cones over a fire to open them up? When they open, take out the pine nuts and eat them. B, shave the bark off the tree and mash it into a paste, then bake or fry the paste. Or C, the whole pine cone can be eaten raw or cooked.
Yeah.
No, and just remember, these are all 11 years outdated, so most of the correct answers are probably wrong anyway. Ding.
That's correct.
Ding, 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 correct. 11 years ago, yes, that was right. So you got one, so there's a chance that Sick One here, I mean Survival Punk James, will not get flogged after the show.
Well, and the other thing is, yeah, these questions are super wrong. The cambium layer is edible, as well as like the fresh shoots from the pine needles. So there's like 7 things edible on the pine tree. Not the bark, but the fresh shoots on the tree branches. You can't eat those.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. But I, you know, I didn't run up the answers, but it's something about how you eat the bark and the cambium layer or something like that. Like, you mix it up.
Right, yeah, yeah, the bark is not edible. And the sap. You can eat the sap, too.
Huh. All right, now moving on to our second question. How to eat a daffodil? Do you A, boil the daffodils for 10 minutes before eating them, B, salt and dry the flower and stem but discard the roots, or C, do not eat daffodils, they are poisonous?
C.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding. He's got two so far.
You're we doing did. I did handpick these questions because they're ones that I thought you would know in your field.
All right. Yeah, you got, and you're actually doing a lot better than he normally does. So, all right, third and possibly the final question: how to recognize Legionnaire's disease? Do you?
I'm sorry, was coffee in front of
him? Well, let's see here. Symptoms include yellowish spots on the face, accompanied by the inability to concentrate. B, symptoms include sores around the mouth, crusting of the eyes, wink and fingernails, and nausea. Or C, symptoms include fever, headache, and muscle pain, followed by a dry cough. Ding, 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 yeah. Ding, ding, correct. 3 out of 3, didn't even need the other 2 cards. All right, yeah. Paul, you...
85% of all cases of pneumonia were caused by Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah.
Something that goes undiagnosed, and so people have pneumonia, and they have no idea where it came from. All they think is that the pneumonia fairy came, and ding, you got pneumonia.
Of course. No, but you have won our grand prize. You get a month of free sponsorship on our show. We were going to be plugging everything you got. And speaking of plugging stuff, is there anything you want to plug while we got you on here? Where can they find that?
At richsoil.com.
Richsoil.com.
And
the forums, of course, at permies.com. But I think, you know, it's not something. I mean, I want to always tell permies.com, because I believe we're building an awesome community out there. And it's through the power of being very strict about how people talk to each other and what we're allowed to talk about. And I think that. Hostile, nice, but what I think is hostile, then we kick them off. We get rid of them.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. We got one last question for you. Do you have any advice for our listeners who might be wanting to get into the permaculture lifestyle?
I bet I know this answer.
You know, I think that the most important thing to do is to build your knowledge set, because but I gotta say that, you know what, when you know this stuff, if it's just in your head and you know how to go out and do it, then when you go to your sucky day job, you go because you want to, not because you have to.
Yep.
Such an amazing difference. So, because at any given time, away from that job and go to all sorts of permaculture farms. We've got the Yapper program here, but they've got the same kind of thing almost every permaculture farm where you can go and be somebody at that farm. And I really like the idea of there being 100,000 places like the laboratory incredible job.
Oh, awesome.
That is. That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be able to just walk away.
I should be pretty close to walking away.
I know. And you've talked about heading out to Montana before, too.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about that. Paul, it has been great. You're officially our first celebrity of any kind on the show, and we've really, really enjoyed having you on here.
Yeah.
And just letting you know, you are invited back at any time you ever feel like, lowering yourself. Oh, definitely.
Sure. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Oh, we did too. I'll talk to you in the future.
All right.